Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? And he loves you.
For tuning into There's Nothing New Under the Sun. This is yours truly, Pastor C. We are in the Sanctuary Studio in Forestville, Maryland. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Thursday. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I believe I have on the line with me tonight my big sister, Sheila G. Sheila G, on the line with us tonight?
Yes, sir, I am.
Praise God. And my good friend and mentor, Dr. G, are you on the line with us tonight?
Yes, sir. We're here.
Praise God. It's good to be back on the line one more time. We're going to open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we humbly bow, God, and thank you for another privilege, another opportunity to get together and study your word. Father, we pray that you will bless us, that we will be able to study, show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others, and as always, God, we pray that it will be done to your glory, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Sheila G, Dr. G, it's a new year. The calendar is January 2024 in the year of our Lord, and thank God for bringing us through 2023, through all the ups and the downs and the challenges. And I'm sure there's going to be some ups and some downs and challenges in 2024, but the same God that brought us through 23 is the same God that's going to bring us through 2024. In other words, God has not changed. So we thank God for his unwavering faithfulness. I know early on this year we've had some challenges with our technology and challenges in our physical lives and all kinds of things already. So we come to anticipate that there's always going to be a challenge, amen, but we thank God that he's overcome every challenge that has come our way, and so we can lean and depend on him. There's an old hymn that we sing, to hold on to God's unchanging hand, and the first verse starts with, life is filled with swift transition, not or a move can stand, build your hopes on things eternal, and hold on to God's unchanging hand. So I think everybody's been holding on. Sheila G, help me out.
Amen, definitely. So you learn, if you have faith in God, not to look at the problem, but look at the problem solver. Because you're always going to have a problem, but if you put your focus on the problem solver, you don't worry. And just like they said, if you're going to worry, why pray? If you're going to pray, why worry?
I know that's right. Dr. G, you've been holding on to God's unchanging hand.
Oh, you know it. I mean, the Lord never said that every day was going to be an easy day. And you're going to have some ups and downs, but you've got to hold on to what the Lord tells you to do. By faith, we've got the victory.
Amen. And we're studying the book of Romans, and the writer, the Apostle Paul, letting us know, last time we talked about it, sometimes we have things that we're planning on doing, and in that first chapter, verses 1 through 17, Paul had planned to go and minister in different areas, but God had forbidden him, the Spirit had bidden, because there was something that God wanted him to do. And last time we were together, we were talking about that we were eager to do ministry. But in our eagerness to do ministry, we have to realize that God has a plan, and we have to make sure that what we're doing is according to his plan. And so not to get upset with ourselves or beat ourselves up too bad if what we have planned is overridden by the Holy Spirit, by God. And, you know, the example that we were using when last time we got together was the challenges that Jesse had had, and the challenges that we had with our electronics, and that we had to yield to God in that, you know, it was a real live example of, you know, the early church wanting to do something, but God saying, no, you can't do it that way. He wants you to do it this way. And yep, following the Holy Spirit and not be upset. Because sometimes I think we beat ourselves up when we have something planned and it can't be carried out. And we have to understand that God has something in store. So we can plan, but you know, we have to follow God and we have to allow God to overrule our plan. Sometimes. Sheila G.
Amen. That was a lesson that Joyce Meyer was teaching, as a matter of fact, this morning when I was listening to my devotional, about how we may have a plan, but if it's our plan, it's not necessarily going to work it out. That's why whenever we have a plan, we have to say, God, let it be your will, and get out of the way. And if it doesn't work out, if you know it's something that God has laid on your heart, his timing may not be our timing. You know, she was sharing with how God had called her to the ministry, and he had shared with her he wanted her to go to the east, west, north, and south. So she thought it was going to be this great big ministry all of a sudden, but it took 20 years. It was like more in her home Bible study than within the city itself. So she had to trust the process, trust him, saying that, okay, this is what God told me the plan was, but he didn't tell me how the plan was going to come to fruition. And that's where he was talking about where your faith comes in. If God has given it to you, he's going to give it to you, but he may not give it to you the way that you want it, but you just have to trust him and trust the process. Then you go through, you get through, and you look back, and you're like, oh, I get it now.
Exactly. And Dr. G, last time we were together, you were talking about the service and that sometimes the Spirit is leading you to take that little piece or your program, that piece of paper, I think you said the paperwork, and throw it in the trash. Mm-hmm. Help me out, Dr. G.
Well, you're right, because, you know, I remember going to New Birth, and, you know, they were always talking about doing things decently and in order, and they wanted to follow the program verbatim. And I had to tell them, look, this program is just a piece of paper with some things written down on it. But if the Holy Spirit says, veer off, we're going to veer off. And fast forward to where we are now. You know, again, we try to follow the program, but if God has other things that he wants to be done on any given Sunday, I mean, our Sunday school is one of the best because we go over mm-hmm. sometimes. There's a lot of participation. People are talking. They're, you know, they're saying what they feel and believe according to what's been taught. And, yes, I will let the Sunday school go over. and then we might have a shortened service. I may preach, I may not preach, depending mm-hmm. on what the Lord says.
Amen, amen. And that's following the Spirit. And you as you get older, you mature in ministry, you begin to recognize that more readily. And you're not getting caught up in the program or the process of checking the boxes, and you realize, hey, the Spirit is moving, and people are being ministered to, and so we have to allow the Spirit to move and not to beat yourself up when certain things don't go as planned. One of the things, last two Sundays, we broadcast, we're on the internet, and we have like three different ways of getting our service out of it, but the one that we really like is the one with the blog talk, where we can get the service out there and people can call in just on their regular phone for people that can't make it out to the service. But those past two Sundays, before last Sunday, the service was down over the Christmas week and the New Year's week. And it was just one of those things where the service wasn't available, but we had to continue to go on. We went on through with the other means. But you can't beat yourself up when the technology goes down. And then this past Sunday, grandson came home with COVID. and he stayed with us, and we had these great big plans for our 20th anniversary service. New Birth was going to come over, and preacher from Southern Friendship, when they were in 2600 Minnesota Avenue, was going to come over. But it wasn't a thing where all the people getting together and possibly getting sick, many elderly people, immune compromised, underlying health conditions, that it had to go on. And so what we did was we said we're going to postpone it and reschedule it. But those are the things that when we study the Bible, it teaches us that Paul and his disciples and his fellow ministers, they didn't get distracted when God said, don't go here, don't go here, don't go here. But they had continued that zeal to say, hey, if we can't go here, we're going to continue on. And so, you know, if God say so, we'll celebrate the 20th years. but until it's safe for everybody, then we'll have to reschedule it. And we have to be okay with that. And so, yeah, it was a little disappointing. You're like, oh, you're building up to it. Yeah, we're ready to go. New Birth's going to be here. And we're going to fellowship with this church. But if you know, we got COVID in my house, and that's my wife, my grandchildren, my daughter, you know, there's a good possibility that, you know, we would be contagious, and then the church would be like a petri dish, and, you know, right. People, you know, getting sick. And, you know, that's not where the Spirit led me. The Spirit led me. It was like, yeah, I gave you 20 years, and, you know, just keep being faithful. I'll give you some more. But just because you want to celebrate on this day, and, you know, you got to be wise to and follow the Spirit, children.
Amen. The word is wisdom. And Proverbs talks about that all the time, about having that wisdom, not being wise in your own eyes. But God will lead you. There's a reason why things happen. And one of the things that we have to understand is that when this world is full of trouble and the devil's going to get busy, he is going to try to do things. And he does have power. But we have power and authority. And that authority means that we, okay, come on with it, Satan. You may have knocked us down, but I have the trust and the faith to believe in God that if it's not going to happen this way,
and it looks like Sheila G got knocked off. You talk about that technology. Hopefully, they'll be able to call back in briefly. But that's another thing with technology. You you plan on it and it runs great for a period of time, but then there's little glitches, and that's life. Sometimes in life, you have these little glitches, and you have to continue to go on and do your part and know that God will do his part, and it will turn out in that the book of Romans. But we'll see that later on in this book. It says all things work together for the good of those who love God and called according to his purpose, and that it'll work out, and it'll go along, and you'll see God work. And I think we got him back. Hey, Sheila G, you back with us?
That's because we were talking about the devil and he got mad.
I know. And that's what I was saying. It was like as soon as you start talking about the devil, it cut off. You can go ahead and finish up. That's where it cut off, but you can go ahead and continue.
I said, the devil loves his job, as Pastor says. He wants to be the ultimate disruptor. He does have power on this earth, but we have power and authority. And what that authority says is that, okay, Satan, you jumping in, you trying to mess this up, but I have the power of the Holy Spirit to give me peace. So if we can't do it this way, evidently God wants us to do it another way. And that's what ticks the enemy off, that he has power, but we can't feed into that power because that's how he wins. That temptation to want to have that pageantry, that form, that fashion to impress people or to make us, quote, unquote, feel good versus, okay, God, this is you're allowing this to happen for a reason, but we're going to trust you and we're not going to get upset about it. And it's very interesting. I was talking to one of my coworkers, another consultant, who recently she and her husband left their church they had been a part of for 20 years, and he was a trustee, and he was really active in the church, the AME church, and it was one of the ones there in the council that he had been taking the money, and stuff was going funny with the money, and when he brought it up, there was a big old fight in the church. But at the end of the day, he and his wife started recognizing, I know that we've been here 20 years, but it's just form and fashion. We're not, and they use the word pageantry because they're saying that, yes, they're going to these wonderful conferences. Yes, they're going to the council for this. But what are you doing for the community? They weren't doing any outreach to the community. The nursery school that they had, they were taking money out of that to pay the pastor. And it was just, so now they plan on 2024 visiting, and their aspect of visiting is they want to go to a church that's about the word, that's about the Holy Spirit, but it's also about going beyond the walls. And that's right. What a lot of our churches have become now, to your point of, okay, Satan, we can't have our anniversary. They will fall apart. They would still have it anyway and get everybody sick because of the pageantry or the form or fashion versus what the wisdom that God says, hey, I brought you 20 years. We don't have to do it today. We're still going to celebrate.
Amen. Amen. Dr. G, you want to chime in on that?
Yeah, and I agree with what Sheila was saying because, I mean, there was one church that celebrated their big anniversary and had all these folk at a banquet. And from what I was told, you know, afterwards, all these people had gotten sick because they were in a banquet hall, nobody was wearing masks, and almost 200 people caught COVID. Comes a point when, you know, you do have to use good judgment and wisdom. As Sheila was saying, you know, there's nothing to say that services has got to go on such and such a day. And, you know, I commend you for making that decision. And like I said, no problem. Just let me know when you want us to come.
Amen.
With my people. And, you know, we sent the word out that, you know, we will be at home this Sunday. Nobody complained. Nobody was upset. You know, and that's the way it ought to be. It's about doing the will of God. It's not because of form and fashion. Now, I do know some pastors that would have been upset if they couldn't have got together on that particular day. So, you know, as Sheila was saying, you know, we've got to get out of this thing about it's got to go the way that we say it should.
Amen. Amen. And again, we can look at that example in the word where Paul was telling them that, hey, I was planning on coming. I wanted to come, but we couldn't go here, and I wanted to go here, but we couldn't go here. And you know, it's one of those things where you have to surrender your will over to God and say, God, I'm trusting you, and mm-hmm. and you know, we're gonna do it your way. And like you said, Sheila, it eventually it'll come to you. Say, ah, this is why I was like this. Mm-hmm. This is what we're gonna do. But let's go to the text, and we left off on verse 17 of Romans, the first chapter. But I want to pop back up to verse 14. Where Paul says, I am obligated both to the Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. That is why I am so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome. And the reason why Paul was so eager to preach to the Jews and the Gentiles, the Greeks and non-Greeks, is because he had an encounter with God. And that encounter with God enlightened him spiritually, that he was able to see that the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, the John 3:16, for God loved so of the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. He understood that there was power in having faith in the finished work of Christ on the cross instead of a lifetime of him trying to fulfill the law, which he could never do. Right. He recognized that the law was given as a school teacher to teach him that he was coming up short. Not that he could live up to it, but here's God, the perfect God, giving the perfect law, letting you understand that you can't live up to it. So you have to, by faith, believe in his a provision for us, his gift for us, to be able to receive salvation. In other words, you can't earn it. You can't do anything in of your own self to receive the salvation. So the law came to teach you, say, hey, you mess up one of these things, of these Ten Commandments, you done messed them all up. And you can't carry it. You can't do it on your own. And so you have to use God's plan of salvation. We'll study about this in the fifth chapter of Romans, is that it's a free gift. And that you receive this free gift by believing, by faith, believing in God, that God provided this gift. And he says in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So that covers it all. And then in Romans 6:23, he says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so once Paul had that encounter with God, and God knocked him off his high horse on the street called Straight on the way to Damascus, and let him know, he said, Paul, why do you persecute against me? And he realized, said, Lord, what would you have me to do? And he sent Paul on missionary journeys, sent him away from the Jews to the Gentiles to preach this gospel. And he saw the power through the Holy Spirit of preaching this gospel, this message, how it changed lives of Jews and Gentiles, everyone, which separates and delineates Christianity from every other religion, is because it's offered to everyone. Everyone is being offered this free gift. This hand of grace is being extended during this dispensation or a period of time when God is doing something. This grace is being extended. And Paul writes in I believe it's the book of Corinthians 5:18, saved by grace through faith, and it is the gift of God, lest any man should boast. And so Paul got this revelation, this spiritual enlightenment. He said, wow, this is what I've been missing. This is what I mean. This is what God is trying to reveal to us, how we can be saved, how we can be delivered from this body of sin, this spiritual deadness, to become alive in God. And so in verse 16, Romans 1:16, he says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. In other words, and this is what we were talking about last time we were here, this is the ooh-ooh book, when people realize, oh, this is how it's done. Ooh. And Paul was like, yes, this is what I've been looking for. And he said, so everything I've gone through, all the trials and the tribulation, I realized that because of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, that God sent his son to become a propitiation or stand in for our sins, that we can take on his righteousness. This is it. This is what delivers man from the power and the penalty of sin. The finished work of Christ on the cross, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And so he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, back to verse 16, because it is the power of God that brings salvation, he says in the NIV, to everyone who believes. First to the Jews, then to the Gentiles. And in other words, it's available to everyone that believes. The Jews and the Gentiles. And people get caught up about, well, why is it going to be to them first? And you know, people can get up in that foolishness.
Yeah.
But if you're on the bus of salvation, I consider when I used to ride the metro all the time, is the destination is wherever it is. As long as I'm on the train, I'm good. I'm good. If I get on the first car or the last car, I'm good. And so we can't get caught up. Well, it was offered to the Jews, not to the Gentiles. So the Jews think that, and the Jews think they might have some type of special thing on salvation, but they don't. It's offered to the Jews and the Gentiles. And so in verse 17 it says, for the gospel. The gospel, or in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. In other words, God's righteousness is revealed. This is the spiritual revelation, the good news about God's righteousness. God's righteousness is not like man's righteousness. God has a love that is unconditional. He has an agape love that loves in spite of, that in spite of love allowed him to come take on the form of man, be empowered by the Holy Spirit to live a sinless life, to demonstrate to us what the righteousness of God is expecting or requiring, realizing that we couldn't keep it, and then paying the price for the sin that was committed, the original sin that was committed in the garden. And when we believe in God's plan of salvation to redeem us, then God counts that for us as righteous. In other words, God closes us in his righteousness, so we're no longer being looked at by God through our own righteousness, but we're looked at through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And so that is revealed, and it says a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. So whoever, whether you're first or whether you're last, whether you're the Jew or the Gentile, this is God's righteousness. And it goes on in that verse 7, he said, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. From the beginning, when Abraham believed God, he told him, go show you a place. He didn't say, this is where it's going to be. He told him to go. Abraham believed God, and God counted that to him as righteousness. So from the beginning to the end, even in the Old Testament, the righteousness of God is acquired by faith. That's the only way you can get it, Sheila G, Dr. G. You can only get it by faith. You can't buy it. You can't look good. You can't smell it. You can't do cartwheels, back flips, whatever. You can't do somersaults. You can't roll down the aisle. You can't talk in tongues and do backflips. You, I'm meddling now. You can receive it by faith. Abraham, faith. Every other person that sought God, it was by faith. And so Paul realized that it's not about keeping the law, but it's about having faith in God and trusting him that he would do what he said he would do in his word. So Abraham was told that he was going to be the father of many nations. He's an old joker. Lord have mercy. he way up there in age, almost a centurion. His wife way up there. Matter of fact, his wife laughed at God when the angel told her she was going to have a baby. She was like, yeah, okay. She went to the concubine, and I'm not going to go through the whole story, but eventually God revealed and fulfilled his promise. But they had to believe by faith. Their faith journey led him to where Abraham began Isaac, and Isaac began Jacob, and that's where the 12 tribes of Israel came, and if you follow that lineage, that's where the bloodline of Jesus Christ came. But it started first with Abraham believing, and then it was Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the 12 tribes, the lineage, the bloodline of Jesus Christ to the birth of Christ. Help me out, Doc. Am I on point?
You're on point, and what people have to understand, like you said, you know, the law was given as a guide. It couldn't save anybody. It couldn't do anything but point the way to Christ. But, you know, we are living in a world now, when you start talking about Jesus, when you start talking about faith, it becomes a dirty word. With all of the junk that's on social media, the television, the news reports, you know, we're living in a godless world. But there's just a few of us that really believe that Jesus is who he say he is. And then even in the churches, you know, a lot of churches, it's not about Christ. It's about the pastor. It's about the bishops. It's about what the church is doing. And somewhere in the midst there, you know, we've got to get back to what Paul found and what Paul became to understand, that it's by faith, and that's the only way it can work.
Amen. Sheila G., you want to chime in there?
Yeah, as you were talking about Abraham, I actually started thinking about you and Pastor, and that faith walk that you've had. Here you're getting ready to celebrate 20 years of your church's anniversary, and when you look back on it, there were times that had you not had your faith, had the faith, God would not have been able to bring you to the 20th anniversary. And such that faith is so powerful that you recognize that, like you said, you can't do backflips, you can't toss, you can't buy it, you can't do it, you can't like bend on your knees and beg for it. It's a gift of righteousness. But your faith is so strong that, okay, something happened, we can't celebrate it on that day, but you're okay with that because it's not about that day. It's not about form or fashion. Regardless of whether it happens this month or next month, at the end of the day, God brought you all through 20 years.
Amen.
One little blip can't take that away, because you've done that faith walk and you've seen God do his thing. You've seen when you've trusted him for what you could not see, then you get on the other side and you're like, oh, okay, Lord. And the same thing with Pastor G. We always laugh during Sunday school when we're having our discussions how that God had told him before he became pastor that he was going to be a pastor. Now, he put a stipulation saying, well, Lord, okay, I hear you, but I don't want a pastor in D.C. Well, the pastor in D.C., New York Avenue, first, Northwest, way back in the 90s, not like the New York Avenue you see now, back in the day. And again, he had to, by faith, say, okay, Lord, you told me I was going to pass it. I thought it was going to be in Maryland because that's where I lived. That's where I lived. You want me to be in D.C.? Well, here it is 28 years later, almost 29 years, walking by faith, struggle, trusting God. And so they laugh about it. And in our Sunday school, they make the comment that had you not trusted God and trusted God through the process, you wouldn't have met us. We wouldn't have been able to do the things that we did with New Birth. There wouldn't have been the fellowships like we have, like with Heart of God and Corinth, other churches that we've had. You know, we wouldn't have had the dynamics of God. We wouldn't have had that baptismal pool that you all used when you were first
exactly.
out. Like, all about that faith work and talking to God and talking with God and trusting God and not understanding and not leaning to your own understanding. And that is really what this is talking about with Paul. And I see it in both you and your Heart of God for your 20 years, as well as pastor for the 28, and for New Birth as a whole. He's only the third pastor for 60 years.
Amen. And it's a faith walk. It's a faith, and that's when Paul says it from the first to last. In that last verse, we talk about verse 17, and just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. And in the King James, it says, but therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. And it's a faith walk. And faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. In other words, you're responding in a way by faith that you are hoping and you're anticipating or receiving it because you know the God that promised it is going to deliver. So even before it is delivered to you, God Almighty, you're responding like you already got. It's sort of like when you're planning a family. Amen. The baby hadn't got here yet. Come on now. Somebody going to shout hallelujah in a second. But because you know the baby is developing, you can't see the baby, but you can see the development of the baby, that you're making plans. You're buying the bassinet. You're buying the crib. You're buying the clothes. You're preparing the room. You're preparing names and all of that goes on with a baby. But you haven't seen the baby yet. Baby's not here yet, but you're acting as if the baby is already here. That's faith. Faith is saying it hasn't been delivered yet, but I'm going to act like I've already received my blessing. And in other words, I'm going to thank God in advance. Thank you, God. I'm going to thank God in advance because I know the blessing is on the way. And God told Abram, his name was Abram, and her name was Sarah before he changed it to Abraham and Sarah, that the baby was on the way. Lord have mercy. but they had to go through some things to realize that if we're going to do it God's way, we believe God, well, we need to stop trying to help God or let God run this thing out. And it came to pass through all of that, they trusted God, they believed God, and God counted that to them for righteousness, and Abraham begat Isaac. Isaac begat Jacob. Jacob begat Israel, the 12 tribes of Israel, through the son bloodline of Judah came the bloodline of Jesus Christ. Now Matthew says down through 42 generations. It starts off with the lineage and genealogy, the book of Matthew, and then through that came the bloodline of Jesus Christ. That's a long time. That's a lot of people, like you said, Sheila G, all the different dynamics of this relationship, that relationship, of how the birth of Christ came from the seed of Abraham way back when God said, go to a place, I'm going to show you. And he believed, and God counted his righteousness. And God was true to his word. And the same God that we serve today is the same God that they served back then, who has been true to his word and will not change. And it's a faith walk. And we can't get caught up in religion and what man says, what man does. But we need to stay focused in on what God says and what God does, because God lets us know that if we focus on the things that are seen, that's just temporary. But if we focus on the things that are not seen, those things are eternal. And that is dependent on our faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So Paul lays that out. And like we talked about last time, then he goes on to deal with why man needs salvation. Now, that was one of the things when you study or you prepare for ordination or elevation in ministry. Why do we need to preach this gospel? Why do we need to teach this gospel? Why do we have this gospel, this good news? Why are we going through this period of grace? What is this all about? What's it all for? And the reason we were eager and we want to present this to people, because God has a wrath that's coming against sinful humanity. Because, again, in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, which goes back to the book of Genesis, and I believe it was the second chapter, chapter 2, verse 17, where God told his created man, who was made in his image and his likeness, he said, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but a tree which in the midst of the garden, don't eat of it, because in the day you eat of it, you will surely die. And so God gave man a free will, and the humanity decided to believe the lie, the first original big lie for humanity, instead of believing God, because the enemy came to Eve and told her that God didn't say that. And God's a liar, and he just doesn't want you to be like him, because you eat of, then you'll become enlightened like him, and God don't want you to be like him. And that was the lie. And so humanity fell. But because God told him that in the day he eats of it, he will surely die, mankind from that point on out, from Adam and Eve's first child to down to us, the last child that was born in this world, has been under the power and the penalty of sin. Again, Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You don't have to teach a child to sin when he's born into this world. He knows how to do it. It's in him. He knows how to do it. It's in her. You have to teach him to do right. You have to teach him about righteousness. And so that's why we need the gospel, because people come into this world because of sin has been passed down to every man. Every man hasn't done the same thing, but it's been passed down, that sin has been passed down. And so when the gospel is revealed by God to every man, we have to preach that gospel so that men can make a choice to turn away from their sin, turn to God, be forgiven, be renewed, be restored, be regenerated, and receive salvation. And so that's the assignment that he gave his disciples. When he said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. He said, lo, I will be with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. That's Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. And that's the goal. That's the goal. That's the great commission, because there's going to come a day where God is going to judge sinful man. We're in a dispensation or a period of time when God's doing something called grace. And in that window, the gospel will be preached. The Spirit of God will move around this globe. People will have opportunity to humble themselves and seek God and receive by faith a gift, a free gift of righteousness, a free gift of salvation. And he's asking us to be the body of Christ globally to preach this gospel and tell people and warn people, hey, mankind has fallen, but God has made provision where mankind can be delivered from that fallen state. And so when we pick up in verse 18, Paul's leaving off the niceties, and he's getting ready, like our father said, he's getting ready to get down to brass tacks and lay it on the line. So let's look at verse 18 before we go to the phone line. Let's look at verse 18, Romans 1, verse 18. He says, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. I mean, he just lays it out there, Sheila G. It's like, all right, we talked about the gospel and the good news, but let me tell you why we need this gospel. Because what? The God is being, the wrath of God is being revealed. And people think that they can just sin and there's no consequences. But even in the King James, it says, well, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. In other words, you're not going to get away with it.
Nope.
And the wrath of God is coming. That's why you need to pay attention to this gospel.
Yep.
Help me out, Sheila G.
When you said that, you know, you're talking about one of Dad's phrases. Another phrase I was thinking about where it says they give you enough rope to hang yourself. And that's what happens. People get all cocky, get all comfortable. And when you read it, I was like, I was thinking about the world today, the politics today, the things that are happening today where they want to hide. They just thought everything, life was wonderful, had enough rope, and you just kept taking that rope, and that's hanging yourself. That's how God is. He's like, I'm going to give you free will. Keep on, keep on, keep on. And then it comes down. It's like, okay, can you hear me now? And that is what why we have to go beyond the walls. We as a church, and you see it now because the church got all comfortable. God said they were, okay, it's my way, based off denomination, my people and my building versus the love of God. And so we need to go out and show that love beyond these walls to let people know that the wages of sin truly is death. But if you hold on and start to safe walk, God will be right there. But if you keep doing what you're doing, you're going to hang yourself. And God just reveals that to those that thought they walked on water. Now all hell is breaking loose, and they don't know how to handle it because they don't have Christ in their life.
Amen. And Paul goes on to let them know. We're going to go down to verse 20 where he talks about they don't have an excuse. We don't have an excuse. Verse 19, he says, since what may be known about God, and this is where they don't have an excuse. Nobody has an excuse. So since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. Oh, my God. In other words, people can come up with all kind of excuses. Well, I don't know about God. I don't know this, that, other. God has made it plain. There's nobody going to be able to say, well, how was I supposed to know about God? God has made it plain. And verse 20 says, for since the creation of the world, Dr. G, God's invisible quality, his eternal power of divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from that which has been made. And this is the indictment right here, Dr. G, so that people are without what? Excuse. In other words, you can look at how this world was created and all of the glory of this world and realize this wasn't just happenstance. This was purposed by design, that God designed this. You can look at your hand and look at the tip of your fingertip, and you have a fingerprint, and your fingerprint is distinguishable between everybody else that came before you, that's living, that's going to come after you. It's your fingerprint. You can look at a blade of grass underneath a microscope and see the perfection of how it is organized and assembled to know that this wasn't just a happenstance, but this was actually designed. This was created. You can look at yourself and see how you can, without any type of effort, you can inhale, you can exhale, you can stand, you can walk, you can talk, you can listen to us right now, you can see, you can smell, you have senses to be able to survive in this world. God provides food on this planet, air on this planet for his creation to live, and someone would have the audacity to be able to say, this was just happenstance, ain't nobody, this, no, there ain't no God. But if you look at verse 20, Dr. G, it says, so that the people are without excuse. And I say that to you, Dr. G, because you always tell people just making an excuse. Help me out, Dr. G.
That's right. I mean, and you're right, you know. And especially church folk, you know, they are so guilty of always making an excuse. An excuse as to why they can't call in the prayer line, why they can't call into the Bible study, why they can't come to church. Forget what the word says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Well, they've got an excuse. And we live in the midst of a people that are just filled with excuse making. And we've gotten so caught up with the excuses, a lot of times we believe them.
Amen. Amen. So we're going to go to the phone lines. But Paul's going to get deep in this. So if you read in preparation for next Thursday, the next time we get together, he's going to go after all who have sinned. And you have to so that they can realize that there is a gift of God in Jesus Christ. And so we have to make sure that, a lot of people have excuses. They're going to believe a big lie, but you always have to tell the truth, and the truth will prevail. And That's the question we're going to ask tonight of how does the truth, how do you see the truth dealing with the excuse? How does the truth deal with excuse? We're going to go to our first caller. We're going to go with last four digits of 1712. Good evening.
Good evening, everybody. So the question is, how does the truth?
How the truth deal with the excuse?
Oh yeah,
the truth of God deal
question,
with the excuse. The truth of God deal with the excuses of man.
Yeah, I think the answer for that is time. I was telling somebody the other day, time is the ultimate snitch because time will eventually tell all. So
yep.
Man will continue to make excuses, but in time, God's truth will always reveal itself. And I think we see that with Christians because Christians will put on this facade, make all these excuses where we'd be like, okay, well, you know, that's all right. You know, you got family or whatever. Then after a while, the truth ends up revealing itself. And a lot of times it's without even saying anything. You see the truth through people's actions. And kind of piggybacking off of some of the comments Sister Gregory's talked about, we talked about how in Christianity, so many people talk, so many people know the right things to say, the scriptures, the song, this thing, but we see your truth based off of how you move in your actions through the commitment. And that's all through God and having a level of understanding, because to me, you don't have to convince me. That's between you and God about what your excuse is, about why you're not here, why you're not taking this walk seriously, because ultimately it has no impact on me. All we can do is continue to pray for you and hope that you find a solid foundation with Christ. But it is unfortunate because we have so many excuses. But look, let our back be against the wall. We'll maneuver our whole life around to make sure we get in the church and pray and then go before the Lord, and we're testifying.
Uh-oh.
And look, we'll call in to the line and be somewhere else. But it's like, but why does it have to take for life to happen for you to now decide that you want to take God seriously and take this walk seriously? When things are going great, you should be fighting and maneuvering your life around to get on
That's
this call,
right.
to get up an extra 2 hours early, to get to somebody's Sunday school and not just be there, but actually absorb what's being taught and pay attention and apply it to your daily walk. But God's truth is constant. It's not inconsistent. The problem is people think it doesn't exist because it doesn't always hit you over the head right at that moment. As Sister Gregory stated, God's going to give you that rope, and you're going to keep having that rope and rope, and you're going to say, all right, I'm doing all right. And then when God's truth, however he chooses to reveal it to you, when he does, it's always at the right moment in time, or it's at least when you at least expect it. But, you know, people got to stop playing around, because God's truth didn't just show up and start. It's been here for thousands and thousands and thousands of years, and it will continue to be here long after we get off this call, long after we leave this earth. God's truth is everlasting, and it will not end. But if we continue to play these games and put on these facades and wear these masks, we're only fooling ourselves. God's like, I done been there, done that a million times over, and look, and we'll continue to do that long after you're gone. We're not fooling God. And in time, the truth will reveal itself, and then we have to look at ourselves in the mirror. And that's the toughest thing, because the truth is unattractive. It's not popular, as Pastor Gregory stated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not a popular thing, and we live in a world of lies. We live in a world of distractions, and half of what we see is not believable, and it's not real, but that is enough to get our attention away from our focus, which should be on God, because Satan is not going to worry about you if you're far apart from God. He's like, well, okay, well, if they over there dealing with social media and not getting up in church and doing what they're supposed to do, Satan's
right.
like, okay, well, I already got
right.
y'all. I'm trying to focus on the people that's getting up early. I'm trying to focus on those people that's doing the right thing, because those are the people I'm worried about, anybody that's trying to be a part of God's army. But if you continue to live in this lie just because it feels good or you think you're fooling somebody, you're only fooling yourself. And in time, when death comes and you standing at the gate of heaven, what you going to tell God? That God don't already know. So I think in this day and age, and this is definitely a great topic as we're in the beginning parts of 2024, we got to be serious. We have to be serious. How many people started 2023 and aren't here today? And we can only pray to God
Amen.
That they were living in their truth and they were taking this walk seriously, because if you don't, the Bible tells us and all the scriptures tell us where your ultimate resting place will be. So we need to get this walk together, and we continuously need to live in our truth. But we got to get out of the fact of realizing, like, we got to fit in with everybody else and be a part of the crowd. It's easy to be that way. For some of us, that's how we were raised early on, that we just felt we had to conform to the world. But being a Christian, we're the minorities, unfortunately. We're going to have to do things that are going to go against the very grain and comfort level of what so many people in the world do. And it's tough to stand alone. It's tough to stand with a few people when everybody else is going left and these few little people over here are going right or just standing still and saying, you know what, God's speaking to us. God's working through us. God's going to work it out, and this is our truth. We don't have to put on for no form or fashion for nobody. But as I've stated, if we don't take this walk seriously and live in our truth, in time, God will reveal it, and it won't be pleasant. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next caller. Last four digits, 7611. 7611, good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I love God, and I love Jesus. I don't have no excuses. I've been walking with him all my life, and now I got older, I know it. I'm on the right road. I don't have no excuse ever. I thank God that he let me lay and stay this long. I'm blessed by it, and he showed me every day. He's been there with me all my life since my grandmother left this world, and I've been with her every day. I thank God for that. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. Here we go to our next caller. Last four digits, 1211. 1211. Good evening.
Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord.
God is so good. I had the privilege of serving in the United States Army, and I was Air Defense Artillery. We measured distances in terms of meters, and we had an expression that was based on Scripture. The maximum effective range of an excuse is 0 meters. God is not mocked. Whatever one soweth, that also shall they reap. And Jesus told us directly about the rich man and Lazarus.
Yeah, yeah.
So time eventually wind up, and those who are first will be last and vice versa, and there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. So that just warns us and encourages us to do God's will, his way. And he'll make sure we make it all the way home.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. That was my big brother, Steve.
Amen.
Praise God. Thankful for him. We're going to our next caller. Last four digits, 1741. 1741. Good evening.
Good evening, everyone. Good evening. And Happy New Year to everyone.
Happy New Year.
I praise God for his truth. Jesus is truth. And if we want to know truth, we get in the Word. And God's Word is a revealer of truth unto us, even show how our life is like. And so there is only one way. It's the right way, and that's the Word of God. And there's no excuse, and no man will have any excuse at all. So I just thank God for grace, and I thank him for his mercy. Just thank him, because there are times in our life that we do come up short, but we know that we have to stand accountable for our sins and for what we have done. But we just thank God that God is a God of truth and righteousness, and there's only one way, and you have to come through the door. And that door is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We go our next call. Last four digits, 9880. 9880. Good evening.
Good evening. Hey, Uncle Tony.
Hey, Jesse.
I think God's truth, I think God's truth, like, scares a lot of people. I feel like, you know, we look at the truth, and I think we don't want to reflect on it as much because it's easier to get through life, you know. But when you have no choice but to reflect on it, you know, and God puts you in God allows situations to happen for him, you know, to allow you to see his will, you know, it really does something to you. So it really brings the truth out, you know, it really allows you to see his mercy and see, you know, what he's trying to do, you know, like things that, you know, the hard lessons that we tend to put ourselves through, you know, God's trying to show us the easy way, you know what I mean? So I feel like, you know, the truth reveals a lot, you know, and his word just reveals a lot to us, you know, when we are dealing with situations that we feel like our back is against the wall. We feel like we can't really go through it another moment, you know, but when you really rely on him and you have no choice but to rely on him, it really changes your outlook on everything. So that's my intake.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. Dr. G, we're going to do it for us tonight. I'd like for you to have your final comment and close us out in prayer, please, sir.
Well, I think everyone has pretty much talked about making excuses, and I think I'm going to have to go look for one of those sermons on making excuses. The Lord hit me with something. And, you know, and we're living in a day and time now as preachers. You know, we've got to stop preaching these nicey-dicey sermons for folk to, you know, just say, well, look, word, but, you know, we need to, as Paul did, start to have it cut to really think, get people to think about their lives. The truth is the only thing that's going to set us free. And if we are not in Christ, we're already living a lie. Let us pray. Eternal God, our Father, we thank you, Lord, for just one more time. Lord, we thank you that we were able to get on tonight to study your word. And Father, the discussions, what we've talked about tonight. Oh, God, continue to lead, guide, and direct our way. I pray, Lord, that whatever your will is, it shall be done. And, Father, we thank you for these that have called in. I'm praying this year that more people would understand that they need this word to grow by. And, Father, we're claiming that more people would get on this line and study the show. Father, we ask now that you would continue to walk with us and talk with us. And if it's your will that we awaken on tomorrow, O God, we pray that it shall be done. For we pray, we ask it all right now. In the precious name, Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's going to do it for us tonight. Prayerfully, we'll see you again on next Thursday night. Good night.
Good night.